All right, welcome to episode 82 of the Bobbycast. Thanks for hanging out. We're going to talk about the top 10 underrated artists in country music. I mean, completely subjective list. I knew it would be when I did it, so. Meaning, it's just my list and nobody else's. But it's been fun. Should I do a spot first?
Yeah.
And brought to you by Sleep Number, introducing the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. I have a Sleep Number bed myself. I have one downstairs, too. So you've heard me talking about my Sleep Number bed and how well I sleep. And my Sleep Number setting is 30. And my friends at Sleep Number, which, by the way, if you need a new bed, like, go to Sleep Number. Because what they do is you walk into the store. And, by the way, they only have these beds at Sleep Number stores. And you lay down on the bed. And you're down on the bed. And then you, the store that I went to, there's a screen on the ceiling. And it shows your body lay down, kind of like a cartoon. Nah, I mean, not a cartoon. Like a robot. I don't know. But it's like your back, your neck, and it shows you what your Sleep Number needs to be. That's your setting, and mine's 30. And they have a new bed now called the Sleep Number 360, which they let you choose your ideal firmness. And when you move, it moves with you, apparently. Dang, I need that. And it also pre-warms. Huh. So, there you go, the new Sleep Number bed. And thanks for them for being a sponsor of the old podcast here. And it's time that you meet a bed that does all this. Go into a Sleep Number store. Savings of $200 to $400 on the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. Sleepnumber.com to find a store near you. Yeah. I'm being joined in my chair now by my dog, who doesn't get to sit in here a lot when guests are here because he jumps into the chair with them, and not everybody is cool with dogs. And he does like to lick the leather.
He does.
The nonstop leather licker. So here we are. And so what happened is I started this list of what I felt were the 10 most underrated, underappreciated, whatever you want to say about it, artists in country music. And again, it was just my list. And lucky for me, I get to be around a lot of these artists. And I get to see how good some of them are. And the thing is, I'm probably leaving out 100 people that are amazing. But this is just my opinion. But from what I've been able to see and be around, which is a lot, I was like, man, these people, I can't believe that they're not either bigger than they are or people can't see this part of their career life. So their artistry, especially with the Luke Bryan one. And of course, I knew there'd be controversy. Also, if you make a list and there's no controversy, why even put a list out? Otherwise, nobody cares. Like, there's a reason Barbara Walters puts a Kardashian as like one of the most interesting people. So people will talk about it. So don't think I didn't put Luke there knowing people were going to freak out. Like, I was ready. I wanted it to be more, quite frankly. But so I just want to roll down these and kind of talk about why for a second. And I started the list at number 10 with Brandi Clark. It's called Girl Next Door. And Brandy's been on the podcast, and I hope you go back and listen to the Brandi Clark one, because I really like Brandi, not only as an artist, obviously, but as a person.
She's got three kids, no husband, and she's 2 weeks late on last month's rent.
So I put her at number 10 because, one, she can sing. She's such a prolific songwriter. And, yeah, she's been nominated for a Grammy or CMA.
A Grammy,
yeah. And so, and you're like, how does someone underrate it? Well, listen, underrated is all in the mind. But she's, it's hard to say someone who's Grammy nominated is underrated. But I do feel that she doesn't get the respect that I feel like she deserves, or makes the money that she should be making, or has the stage that she should be getting, and how good she is as a performer. And listen, she ain't struggling. She's not hungry because she's writing songs. So she's such a good singer. She has a new album out that's live in Los Angeles, which is a bunch of songs that you know, but it's just a live record. And it's really good. It's like in a small club. So I put her at number 10 because she's just pure when she sings. And she's coming twice, and it's, there are things when people come to the studio and they sit and they play, I kind of react differently. If I stare at them and I watch them, like I'm really into it, or I'm like, or I'm kind of taken aback at how good or how different it is. If I'm just looking down at the board, it's not good, and I don't want it to be weird. Or if I'm on my computer, there's a difference. I'll flip over on my computer and do stuff. That means I'm really comfortable with the artist. They've been in about 100 times, mm-hmm. And I'm gonna just go ahead and look some stuff up real quick, or I'm gonna check something real quick. Those are the three things that I do, because I'm sitting 3 feet from the person who's playing. So if I'm watching, like, I'm really into it. I'm like, wow. If I'm not watching and my head's just down, I'm like, oh, no, this is not a good look. And if I'm on my computer and I'm kind of bouncing around, it's going just as good as I expected it to. But and I'm very comfortable with this artist. And they're comfortable with me bouncing around because there's just stuff to do. And number 10, Brandi Clark. And I hope you guys check her out. I hope you listen to Bobby Cast with Brandi Clark. At number 9, it's Craig Campbell.
She's
there you go. Lord, when I die, I want to live on the outskirts of heaven. You know, Craig hasn't had a bunch of commercial success. He's had a little bit. You know, he had, wish I could close you know, my eyes, Out of My Head. Not have to see you smiling. Yeah, yeah, can't get you out of my head. Another great Bobby Cast to listen to because Craig was playing side for Luke Bryan. He was playing the keys. And there was a point where Luke basically fired him because he was like, hey, I know you want to go pursue your own career. You should go do that. Like, get out of being in a band and the comfortableness and go and try to be a solo artist. And, you know, a lot of these guys, you hear their songs out of a studio, and they all sound, they don't sound the same as, meaning some songs are better than others, but they all sound the same. Like, sonically, they're all good quality songs. But whenever Craig Campbell performs live, and he sings, because he's come out and played with Raging Idiots before, and he's played on the show many times, you're just like, whoa. And he can play everything. He can play the piano like freaking Beethoven. He's like country Beethoven. And you don't expect that from him. And he plays the guitar, and then he sings. And he is, for people that are looking for like that ultimate country traditional artist, like that's Craig Campbell. And to me, it's crazy that he hasn't been the one to cut through on that level, because inside the format, there are all these little sects, S-E-C-T-S, sects. There's the progressive guys. There's, I say guys, girls. There's the right down the middle, putting out just the standard hits. And then there are the people that are very traditional. And Craig Campbell's one of them. And just such a pure singer. Can play multiple instruments. And I've said before that the fact that he's not a star is crazy to me. Just, you know, his first label, whenever this song came out of My Head, I believe, the label folded while it was climbing the chart. The label, this is his biggest song. I believe it was this one. And then Outskirts of Heaven was so good, but Stupid Radio, stations wouldn't play because it was too slow. Which puts me on a whole other topic, but that's number 9. At number 8, I put Luke Bryan. Probably my most controversial pick of all of them. I feel like he's the biggest artist in the format. Why is he underrated? I agree. He's the biggest artist in the format. Absolutely. But you can be super highly rated and still be underrated. And where I think he's underrated in his songwriting ability, in his actual artistry of sitting, playing a piano, playing the guitar. Like, I've just seen him sit and play a piano and sing. And it's like, people aren't going to see this part of Luke Bryan because he's the guy who puts on a fantastic show. Because of his showmanship, he gets penalized for how good of an artist he really is. And it's a weird thing, because the bigger he gets, the more people forget how good of an artist he is. The bigger he gets, people see the superstar. And he even said it on our show, he was like, you know, I'm not wearing pants as tight anymore, because that's what people start to know me as, Tight Pants Luke. You know, and he said something to that effect. But I put Luke there because people just go, oh, Luke Bryan, that's the guy who dances around tight pants and gets all the hits. But you know the reason he gets to dance around tight pants in front of 30,000 people is because he's been a crazy good artist for years and years and years before that. Like, he had to work up to be able to be Tight Pants Luke. And so he had to work up to get the American Idol job. It's not like someone was like, hey, you shake your butt and we can give you some good songs. You go on up, big fella. That wasn't it at all. He had to be an artist and a lot of failure. He had a bunch of songs that didn't make it early. He went through a ton weird song. So the Luke Bryan that you know now is not the Luke Bryan that I have been lucky enough to see at times when no one else is around. So I put him on the list because I think people just see Luke Bryan now as the guy that wears that same hat, wears the tight pants, and gets up there and shakes it and sings the hits, you know? But he's also the guy who writes the songs. And I've said it before, like even Billy Currington, Good Directions, was a song that Luke wrote. And, you know, people know that. 10, 9, 8 is Luke Bryan. Number 7 is Charlie Worsham. I'm a huge Charlie Worship fan. I don't know that there's an artist on this list that is as respected in town by other artists as Charlie Worsham. And that's a lot to say because there's some great artists on this list. But when Charlie Worsham will do something in Nashville and he'll do some kind of night at a writer, and people like Eric Church came to a Charlie Worsham small thing. Like that's how respected Charlie Worsham is, because he can play the guitar so eloquently and perfectly, and he is such a kind guy. And people say he's the best guitar player in town. I don't know. I haven't met all the guitar players in town. I feel like he doesn't have the right song yet. But when Eric Church shows up at your thing, that's pretty freaking cool. And I love Charlie's music because it's not super traditional. It's not like cowboy hat country, but it is country. You don't even debate it, because some music you're like, I don't even like assigning genres, frankly. But people are like, I wonder if this is country. You don't ever ask that about Charlie Worsham, yet it's still not super traditional. It's a weird line with his music, because no one goes, I don't know if this is country, but he's not cowboy hat country at the same time. And he's a guy, he's such a smart guy. Like, I think, because we've done a Bobby Cast with him, and the fact that he plays, as a kid, played all those instruments. Didn't he play like the, what did he play that was so crazy to me? He played like the accordion or something. I don't even know what it was. But anyway, Charlie Worsham, 10, 9, 8, is at number 7 on the most underrated artist list. I encourage you to check out his new album. Cut Your Grooves on there. I mean, if there's like a John Mayer of country music, and not even just for the guitar, but just the cerebralness of him, it's Charlie Worsham. If there's like a John Mayer of country music, and I don't say John just because of his guitar playing skills, but John Mayer's like on a different level in his mind. Like, he sees things differently. He talks. He's quick. He's super smart. Wherever you are, he's about a step ahead of you, looking down at you going, yeah, you're stupid. You know, so Charlie Worsham to me is kind of the John Mayer of our format. And I'll say stupid in a bad way, but like, he's just in a different place in his brain. Blue Apron. Oh, love Blue Apron. For less than $10 per person, per meal. Got an email. Wonder if it's from Blue Apron, saying your new Blue Apron's here. Ouch. Are these shorts? These zippers are like cutting me. All right, let me turn my phone down. Blue Apron, by the way. Let me tell you what you can make. Garlic butter shrimp and corn with green bean salad and roasted purple tomatoes. Probably think I'd never make that. You can with Blue Apron. Skillet vegetable chili with cornmeal and cheddar drop biscuits. You can the Blue Apron. They send it right to your door. And for less than $10 per person, per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. And so they come to your door. There's a card that tells you how to make it, so you don't have to worry about that. And again, the pre-portion thing's a big deal, so you have to buy a bunch of extra stuff. And it's guaranteed to be fresh. It's so easy because you can put them in your house, 3 or 4 of them, and you don't have to cook them. You don't have to eat them right away when they come. You just make them whenever you're ready. I love Blue Apron. For a limited time, Blue Apron will be delivering recipes inspired by the winning dishes on MasterChef. Ooh, turn into MasterChef on Fox. Wednesday at 8, 7 Central. Or visit Blue Apron starting August 24th. BlueApron.com/BobbyCast to get your first 3 meals for free. You should really try that. BlueApron.com/BobbyCast. First 3 meals for free. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. All right, so we are at Brandon Clark 10, Craig Campbell 9, Luke Bryan 8, Charlie Worsham 7. This Cody Johnson, I've known about it for a bit because obviously I lived basically 15 years in Texas, and I love Austin, Texas so freaking much. And when you're in Texas, you meet a lot of the Texas country guys. And Cody put out a record, his last record, which I thought was really, really good. With you, I am. And it was the first time I'd really been drawn to any of Cody Johnson's music. And I remember playing it on the air. People are like, I've never heard of this guy. This guy can sing. Now, he's cowboy country. He's Texas country. The Texas country thing's a little weird to me because I have so many friends that do it. And they can't act like they want to make it on a national level. I hate to say even national country because there's a lot of Texas people here. but they can't act like they want to make it. They have to act like, in case they don't, that they didn't try. And so I have art, and I'm not even going to call friends. I've said it before. Like, they're secretly trying to get deals in Nashville, and if they don't, then they're like, oh, Nashville sucks. Listen, I don't care where you live. I don't care what, if it's good, it's good. And, you know, Aaron Watson's doing pretty well right now. I think he's got a song at like in the 20s. Mm-hmm. So, but nobody cares where he's from. Eli Young Band, when they crossed, they're a Texas country artist that crossed over. And here's the deal. If you go from like Texas country to a national act where you're getting to tour, the door's open for you a lot. You make more money. You get to support your kids better. You nicer clothes. You get to give to your church a little more. So, you know, I just know a lot of Texas country artists that have to on the front go, this Nashville stuff's stupid. I love Red Dirt. But secretly, they're in town trying to get record deals. They're texting me like, hey, can we get dinner? But I like them. Like, they're my friends. So I would just throw them under the bus. But I get it, because it's a culture, and you still want to play to your base. And there are artists, because of that culture in Texas, like Nashville. I don't even like to call them Nashville, because most people from Nashville aren't from Nashville. Mm-hmm. That's the weird thing in the Nashville. Most people here, they're not from Tennessee. Like, they're from Georgia, Alabama, some from Texas. Not many from Arkansas, oddly.
California.
It's California, yeah. There really are. So I like Cody Johnson. I don't even like to call him a Texas artist, because I don't like separating them. I just think he's a great artist, and he can sing, and I really liked his last album.
With you.
Here, I'll play another one. To be long where the four winds blow. I think on YouTube I did a video of like five artists I thought were fantastic a bit ago, and I put him in there. So it's not my first time to think Cody Johnson's awesome. Probably the least known, because he hasn't really crossed over a lot yet, but man, I think he has a potential. But like Granger Smith deals with that. You know, he was what was considered a Texas artist, but Granger did something I haven't seen anybody else do in the Texas artist scene. He built it all himself, and he had all the leverage in the world, and he had millions of followers and fans, and people were chomping at the bit to sign him. He didn't come begging. And he was like, if it happens, it happens. It was really amazing. And I'll say this, Granger and I are close. Like, Granger and I text, and we see. He's one of the few that we're like, when the hurricane happened, I just called him. I was like, hey, dude, if something happened, you know, we may need to do something together if something else doesn't happen. And luckily, a lot of people got together and started doing things. But Granger came to town, and everyone was like, wow, we need this guy. But, you know, a lot of Josh Abbott Band, Eli Young Band, you know, Pat Green did for a bit and had Wave on Wave, which is a big national song, and then I don't think his second song worked, so he went back to Texas country. It's like, national sucks. But I would do the same thing. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I'd be like, I'm going to try to make it. And then if I don't, I'll be like, nah, they suck. They're all sellouts. Everybody's just trying to make it. You can't hate on somebody trying to make it. And what happens, too, in that culture of Texas country, when an artist does go to make it, everybody else starts hating on them. Which is how America works. When someone starts to get success outside of your bubble, you're like, oh, they're sellouts. They're stupid. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I like Cody Johnson a lot, my point. Now, I like Texas country, but I don't like calling it Texas country. It's just like national or Nashville country. Some of it sucks, and some of it doesn't. Same thing with what's quote Texas country. Some of it sucks, and some of it doesn't. Same thing with pop. When I was working in pop, a lot of it sucked, but some of it was really awesome. When I was working alternative, like, that was the weirdest format for me, because I absolutely loved about two songs an hour. Loved about two. Like, I'd be like, these are my favorite songs. And then the rest were just total crap. It was the weirdest.
It's such a range, though, an alternative.
It would be the weirdest thing. And I would think, like, how are these even songs? But then something would come on, like, when Milky Chance first started coming out. I'd be like, this is freaking amazing. But alternative is now, obviously, if you know me at all, I don't like the fact that there are formats. I just love music. And then, yeah, there's sucky and there's great and different. But the good thing is we get to be, you know, get to pick ourselves. Okay, so there's Cody Johnson. I encourage you to check him out. We're now in the top five, my most underrated artist list, and I pick Lauren Elena. If you trust your rebel heart, run into battle. Don't be afraid. Take a road less traveled. Now, Lauren and I have spent some time together. She came and opened up for the Idiots. She's been on the show a few times. You're like a I'm going to tell you, she is as good a singer as anybody in Nashville. That's it. She is. And people don't know that. They know she's a good singer. But you can name somebody, and I'll be like, yeah, she's good as them. It's tough. She's as good as anybody in Nashville. Now, depending on your tastes, now maybe you like Stapleton. Stapleton's as good as anybody in Nashville. Now, if you don't like, maybe, because I was with some people from iHeart, and they're like, yeah, he really can't sing, but, and they don't know much about country music. The people I was with the iHeart Radio Music Festival, they're like, man, he can really sing, but I don't really like his tone. They felt like his tone was a little aggressive. Like his voice. Mm. Like, okay. Because he does have a very good, but he's sing. I love, listen, my favorite story to tell, because I go to these meetings sometimes, and a lot of clients will want to start some sort of new music thing with me. They're like, hey, let's break some artists together. And for me, I kind of hold that, like, I take a lot of pride, and I don't want to just sell that to someone unless, like, they're really in it too, and they can help me promote what I want to promote. So there's been 3 or 4 major clients that I've said, I don't think this is a good relationship, because they'd want to do it, like, every Thursday. And you know what? I don't think there's a good somebody that I feel like putting my neck out every Thursday. Like, I just don't. So, but what I'll do is I'll tell the story a long time ago, and it's been close to 3 years now. There was this guy, and I was familiar with one of his bands, and I knew he was a songwriter in town, and I remember calling him on the air. One of our sales girls named Kathy, I was like, hey, can I get this guy's number? And she texted me his number. I called him. He was in the shower, and he's like, hey, can I call you right back? We were on the air. I was like, hey, can I call you right back? And I was like, yeah. So, calls me back on the air, put him back on the air. I mean, he was an unknown songwriter. And so I was like, hey, dude, will you come in and sing? I'm like, yeah. Super nice. Comes in, plays, sings, blows everybody away. I invite him back. Comes in, sings, blows everybody away. Well, comes in, sings. That 3 times to him. Sings, blows everybody away. Had written some hits for other people. And he'd play them, play the covers. Not covers when you write them, but he would play the songs that he wrote for other people, hits. And I remember my boss going, hey, people are upset that you keep bringing this guy that nobody knows into the studio because he's not testing art. The audience doesn't know him. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. He's really good. Like, there's a time when we should just worry about the quality, not if it's unfamiliar. Because he's so good that unfamiliar doesn't matter. And I got into a little bit of trouble. And then it turns out, smash cut, CMAs, it was Chris Stapleton. And he put the record out, nominated, with Justin Timberlake, launched him into superstardom. That's like one of my favorite stories ever. Because I got into trouble for putting Chris Stapleton on the radio. And now, people like, and we have a whole library of Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
We have an entire library in our studio of Chris Stapleton coming in playing everything from Traveler, songs he'd written for Luke Bryan, Drink a Beer, Josh Turner. Because he would just come in and be like, I'd love to play. This is awesome.
He's like, what haven't I played yet?
Yeah, he would come in and go, Bobby, what haven't I played? And we'd figure out, we'd look at a record or, you know, even like, what are you listening to? Before Traveler came out, he'd play that. You know, what are you, is it a cover band? You know, so my point is, Lauren Elena, to watch her sing in person is that kind of power. She's such a great singer in the land of great singers. She's as good as anybody. I'm not saying she's the best because that's a taste thing, but she's as good as it. I've seen Lauren Elena sick come in and sing better than people. Better than great. Sick. She's good. You're like, whoa. You know the weird thing too about, and I'm going to lump her in, but she's going to be one of the better ones, if not the best. When you have to sing on a reality TV show, you're really good.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come in the studio, and they may not be famous, but like, you know who can sing her freaking brains out? It's Kelly Pickler. She hadn't had any hits in a while, and she's not a label anymore, but she would come in and I'd be like, oh my God. But you don't go on those shows. Cassidy Pope, she opened for the Idiots for a while. And I was like, oh my God. You don't go and win those shows. Danielle Bradbury. Yeah. When you go on those shows, you have to be good. And they come in, and fame or not, if someone goes on one of those reality shows, and maybe not now, I don't know, because I haven't seen anybody in the last couple years, from any last couple years of shows. I don't know if they're watered down or not. But they're really good. And Lauren was one of them. Even when Scotty McCreery comes in to sing, you're like, dang, he's good. You know, he seems like this. And you're like, you know, it's kind of, when he talks, it kind of sounds like a cartoon character. And then he sings, you're like, you know, but he is really good. So anyway, I put Lauren Elena at number 5. At number 4, my most underrated artist list, as I make the list, I put Kip Moore. So God made girls like you, make guys like me. I've developed a new appreciation for Kef over the last year. I always thought he was good. But again, as I get to have personal relationships and see how much the art is important to them, how good they are, not just in a studio. Because that's the thing. Studio can make anything, but it's not good. You ever heard the Raging Idiots? That's us in a studio. I mean, we're good live, too, but it's different. We're crazy fun live. But we go in a studio, you get bells and whistles. You get the best players. You get everything in the studio. That's why Lindsay Lohan can put out a song, and it sounds pretty good. That Lindsay Lohan song? Do you remember Rumors? Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
I'll come back to it. Remind me. Because it was good. Everybody used to hate on it. I was like, well, you can hate on Lindsay Lohan, but don't hate on Rumors. That song was kind of the jam. But Kip Moore, which at one point in our life we did not get along, because I was like, Kip, relax with the cell phones. I'm telling everybody to put the cell phones away at shows. But once I got to know him, and we'd spent four or five, because we went to breakfast. We were not on good terms, and we just were like, let's just go talk about it at breakfast. I've told the story before in different places, but and then we talked for a while, and I was like, he's just a very passionate guy. And I cannot agree with him, but I have to respect the fact that he's super passionate. Like, I don't have to agree with a lot of people, but I can respect them. And so I don't agree with Kip when he's like, put your cell phones down, I'm playing. Like, I would never do that, but I don't have to agree with him. That's his thing. But I respect it because he's like, I'm here, I've been working on my music, I want you to take this music in. And I respect that about him. And man, the guy, like, there's a drum beat, right? And he has his own, and he plays to his own, and he just walks along to it. And that's just what you want to do in life. If you can figure out how to just live your life your way and just say F everybody else. And Kip does that in a lot of ways. In the sun, old school Kip there. Especially musically. So, yeah, I like Kip. Kip's not one that I would sit around and joke around with. He's not the funny guy. Not a real sense of humor guy. But he's someone I can sit and talk about music with and like really get down into it. And that's a really cool thing. And he's a hard worker, really, really hard worker. And he's crazy. And I'm crazy too, and crazy recognize crazy. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I get where you're off just a little bit. So that's Kip Moore at number four. His authenticity as an artist, his passion for the artistry and not about making songs that just sound good on the radio, that was the scale tipper for me. I may have put him on the list anyway, but just spending time with him, like, and he's good. You have to be good to be on the list anyway. At number three, someone that just nobody's paying attention to yet, and one day she's going to pop and everybody's going to be like, how did I, in the world did I not know that she was even killing it? Aubrey Sellers. Money's gonna get a little bit tight, but it's okay, it's alright. It don't take a whole lot of cash to sit here and cry till you come back. I don't even know why she hasn't made it. Her songs are hooky and catchy. And yeah, they're different, but it's not like they're anything crazy. They're not crazy different. She did a whole record with no acoustic guitars, but who cares? It's not like you can't. This song, Sit Here and Cry, it should have been a radio hit. Money's gonna get a little bit. This is a country song. It's okay, it's alright. It don't take a whole lot of cash. Just sit here and cry till you come back. I love Aubrey Sellers. I love her music. I like her. She's super smart. She reads like 3 books a week. Like, just a. She's been out with us too on the road, and I got a chance to get to know her. And I think Aubrey Sellers and her record is awesome. Liar, liar, womanizer, bargain. You know, she's someone too who went in and was like, I want to do a record this way, and she just did it. And she's like, if it doesn't work, I took my chances and did it my way. And I'd rather fail doing it my way than fail doing it somebody else's way. So there's something to be said for that. Aubrey Sellers is at number three. And so here we are at number two. And again, this is someone who's nominated for Entertainer of the Year. So, yeah, it is a little weird to put Luke Bryan, Entertainer of the Year, biggest star. And Eric Church is nominated for Entertainer of the Year, too. Catch me around here, buds. Different thing with Eric Church, though. Everybody knows Eric Church is just a maniac at doing live shows. I thought one of the coolest things he did was the Hold On My Own tour when he goes up by himself and he plays for an hour and a half, goes to the water fountain, gets a drink of water, comes back, does all that. Like, that's cool. The fact that Eric Church has developed this church choir. He has such a dedicated fan base because he does things. He just goes out and crushes it and puts it all out there. And, you know, when they did his Mr. Misunderstood, right? I don't think that's the one. They sent it out to, for free to all the fan club. And there was some controversy to that because from what I know, and I'll speak completely just for me, and I can mess the facts up, the record label got mad they did that because they're like, here is a guy who's going to sell a ton of records, especially to the fan, his huge fans, yet he's sending them off free records. And so from what I've heard, there was some animosity there between like the label and church's people and church. Church wanted to, he's like, these are my fans. I'm going to get to them for free. They're in the fan club. And then the label, understandably, because they're in the business of making money off of music, go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why are you giving people for free something they would for sure buy? Like, we're in this together. So I understand both sides, but I look at just the Eric Church part of it and go, man, like, dude loves his fans. And, man, they love him back. Holy cow. I think he gets overlooked for Entertainer of the Year a lot of years, as he's nominated this year. But I think he gets overlooked a lot because he's not the guy that's out doing a bunch of press. He's not out doing a bunch of big festivals. He does some. He's not the guy that's trying to fit in at all. And so because of that, you get penalized a little bit. Church gets penalized. Sam Hunt gets penalized. And I've said before, they're similar in that they just don't care. And I've compared them many times. And every time I do, people are like, they're not the same. Yeah, no crap. They're not the same. I didn't say they were the same. I said they're similar in the way they don't care and they're monsters. And they are so successful, both of them, and partly because they just don't care. They DGAF. Yeah. They don't. Yeah. I said those letters right. So at number two, Eric Church. Round here buzz. Song.
Catch me around here buzz. Cause you are.
So I'm just kind of giving you guys background as to why I picked them. Number one, and if you're like, man, if Eric Church is at number two, who would you put at number one? And number one, the Raging Idiots. No, I wouldn't even do that. I wouldn't even disrespect my own list by that. At number one, most underrated artist is Brothers Osborne.
But it ain't my fault.
And how do you say, well, they want a CMA for duo, or they want for CMA for vocal, or ACM for duo? But no one expected them to.
Who can testify?
I mean, they're a rock and roll band. They're a rock and roll country band. Like, those guys are so freaking good. John plays the guitar. He did. There's an 8-minute solo at the end. I think it's 8 minutes. It's going to stay a little longer. It's like listening to Magic. It's like, wow. They did. Well, you know, we had Robert Eaton in, and Robert Eaton put like that on TV. The solo. When I watch John play, it reminds me, I'll go back to the John Mayer thing, where it doesn't look effort. It looks like if I were just going for a run, like, I gotta put a little work into it. I gotta look at where I'm stepping, but mostly I'm just subconsciously doing it. I'm subconsciously running. I'm not thinking about every muscle on my body lifting and going down. I'm not looking at every step I have to take. I'm making sure I don't step on a rock. I'm watching for cars. But mostly, I'm just out running. That's what it reminds me of when he plays guitar. He's out taking a jog. Like, he's so good at it that he's out taking a jog. And he wants to veer left. He can veer left. He wants to veer right, he can veer right. But he's got it under control. And so he is, and obviously TJ is distinct and is just a powerful, gritty singer.
But it ain't my fault.
And this here's the jam. And it's, I think it's like top 10 now. I don't know when you're going to hear this, but I hope it's a number one song.
Who can testify?
I don't know that, by looking at it now, I don't know if it is or not. I would like for it to be, but I'm just looking at like the metrics. And they're different. I love that about them. Like, they're just in your face. We're two dudes. We're not trying to be pretty. We're just playing. So we're playing rock and roll country music. And like, they go places and play. They play the theater in California, and the roof caved in. So then they got on the bus and play on top of the bus. They just are music. They're just, we're here to play music. We hope you like it. And if you don't, that's okay. But if you do, we're going to play a lot of freaking good music for you. Yeah, Brothers Osborne, to me, the most underrated act in country music.
Blame my reason on my name, blame my name on my reason, blame my lack to know I'm bitter on public education.
There you go, that's number one. Why can't I get my music up over here? Because I wanted to play Lindsay Lohan Rumors. But for some reason, this won't open right there. Yeah. Oh, I gotta do the old force quit to get it to open back up.
There you go.
Back hurts in this chair. We're in the 80s now in these episodes. We've gotta get. I say that our radio studio sucks even worse than this place. But we gotta get a better studio. Listening on this computer. Okay. Lindsay Lohan Rumors. This song was good. And you know what? Suck it if you don't think so. Because I know it's a pop song, but man, I don't like pop songs. Okay, but whatever. But when this thing came out, it was kind of cool. Probably 10 years old or whatever. So I was like, all right, I feel like I'm driving down the road. I feel like you could rap over this. Yeah.
The club, the music made me want to tell the DJ turn it up. I feel the energy all around, and my body can't stop moving to the sound. But I can tell that you're watching me, and you're probably gonna like what you didn't see. Well, I just need a little space to breathe. Can you please respect my privacy? Why can't you just let me do the things I wanna do?
Like, if someone said this is Calvin Harris, we'd be like, this is fantastic. Calvin Harris, the BB Rexa, this song is amazing.
13 years ago.
Is it? That's a pretty good beat though, right? Even still.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You can say that maybe that doesn't hold up with today, but that's kind of the jam. Do you remember Paris Hilton when she put out a record?
Oh, yeah.
And she had Stars Are Blind. Again, not a terrible song. Because you get people with the right producers. Here's Paris Hilton, Stars Are Blind. How long are we in, by the way?
37.
Okay. Here's Paris Hilton. I remember playing this on the radio, and I was like, I hate Paris Hilton. Yeah, song's not terrible. I mean, if Demi Lovato does this, or Selena Gomez, this is a hit right now.
Those are the guys I want to take me for a ride. But when I walk, they talk of suicide. Some people never get beyond the stupid.
I'm waiting for the chorus here, and I'll move on.
You can see the real me inside, and I'm satisfied.
I wouldn't listen to it on my own. And it wasn't listen to Lindsay Lohan's song on my own either. But they're not terrible pop songs. I mean, Ashley Simpson had the jams. Like, Mike D and I were talking about this last week.
We started on Ashley Simpson.
She had the jams. Like, Pieces of Me was the jam.
I still come back to that song. It gets stuck in my head randomly.
This one?
Yeah.
The Pieces
I'm
of Me.
Waiting. Tuesday, I'm fading. And by Wednesday, I can't sleep.
She was such a big deal for a bit.
Then the phone rings, I hear you, and the darkness is a clear view. You've come to rescue me. Oh, with you I fall so fast. I can hardly catch my breath. I hope it.
Dog's like, what's happening? Like, that was the jam. That was the jam, and then the SNL thing happened. But I'm going to tell you what the song I liked the most from her was this L-O-V-E. It was so good. You know the L-O-V-E?
Was it after that one?
Yeah. Let's say this one. Yeah, she had two of them. I'll play you a couple. Ashley Simpson. Get into the good music.
in a circle and clap your hands. This is for you. Ups and downs, highs and lows, and no matter what, you see me through. My boyfriend, he don't answer on the telephone. I don't even know where the hell he goes. But all my girls, we're in a circle and nobody's gonna break through.
L-O-L-O-L-O-L-O-V-E-L-O-L-O-L-O. Man. Then Lala. Listen, I was kind of Ashley Simpson fan. You remember this one?
Yeah.
It's kind of a little punk vibe to her. Even her voice.
You can dress me up in diamonds. You can dress me up in dirt.
Which song was it that she screwed up on?
That's another Piece of Me.
That's Piece of Me? And she just did like a hoedown.
Yeah. A little jig and then ran off.
Dance and then ran off. That was
blame the band.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
That's kind of the jam. Yeah. Like, I mean, you can hate it if you want. I mean, come on. What about this? Hillary. Remember Hillary Duff's So Yesterday? Do you remember this one?
I remember this one, yeah.
So yesterday, so yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
You could change your life.
If you want it.
You could change your clothes.
If you want it. Come clean. Hillary Duff had some jams. Anyway. Hey, don't forget, you can check out the podcast from Whiskey Riff called Whiskey Riff Raff. What did they talk about in the last one? You remember? It was like growing up as like lower middle class 90s kids.
Yeah.
those guys are nuts. Listen, if you're scared of bad words, they're probably not the best one for you to listen to, but I think they're funny. And we don't curse on this one, but you know they talk about country music from a fan perspective and sometimes just life. So you can go check them out. If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, it's called Whiskey Riff Raff from the guys at Whiskey Riff. And that'll do it. I think we're good, huh?
Yeah.
Do we want to leave on some Vanessa Hudgens?
Ooh, what you got?
What was our biggest song? You can't pick anything from High School Musical.
Take my hand.
That song sucks.
Did she have one outside of High School?
I don't know. Maybe she did.
I don't think she did.
I'm looking and I don't see anything that was.
You are fine, you are sweet, but I'm still.
Oh, sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Ashley Tisdale. Well, that sounds terrible. All right, we're done. We've now gone down a rabbit hole that I need to get out of. Hey, which one do I. Where's that music at? Soundbite?
Yeah,
I got it. Thank you. All right. What episode is this?
82.
Thank you very much for being with us. Instagram, Mr. Bobby Bones. Thank you for listening to this. Yeah, that'd be good. Thanks to Blue Apron. Thanks to Sleep Number. And we'll see Devin Dawson.
Yep.
Will be the next one we do. Devin Dawson got that. Got the song. You can not put David eyes on me. You can not put David eyes on me. And you can not put David eyes on. Whoa. That song right there. Put it all on me.
Just like that.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the exact words. He's next. I think Busby's coming up. Mm-hmm. Big time producer, writer. Did a lot of Keith Urban stuff. Did a lot of stuff. So we got some cool ones coming up. You know, it's a jam. This is right here. Ooh, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Do you know that I was talking about that on the air. I was like, because this is Portugal the Man. Feel It Still, that's what it's called. Feel It Still. Talking about songs that sounded like, and I hear that song. Hey, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. You know, from the old, like, maybe like 50s. I'm not even sure. Let's see, Google what song it is. And I didn't look it up, but apparently he did give writing credit to them. I wasn't even saying, like, you should give writing. But I was like, this song sounds so much like it. They should. And some listener was like, hey, douchebag, there is. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I wasn't saying that he didn't. You guys act like I check my facts. I just say stuff.
Yeah, the 60s.
It's probably called Mr. Postman.
Please, Mr. Postman.
Yeah. The problem was, Ray put up a weird version.
Is it the Marvel Epic?
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, hey, 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 Mr. Postman. Hey, Mr. Postman, look at me.
This part here.
Wait, oh, yeah.
minute, Mr. Postman. So that's that sped up on this
one. Mr. Postman.
You hear it sped up?
Yeah.
Did you before?
No.
Whoa, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
I got it now.
My ears. Like little angels on the sides of my head.
Whoa, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Sped up.
Ooh, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Boom.
Boom!
Gotta go. What episode is this?
82.
82. Thanks for listening, Bobby Cass. See you next time.
Goodbye.